Hey folks, welcome back to the My Tech Decisions podcast. This is another Patch Tuesday episode where we go over Microsoft's March 2023 Patch Tuesday release with Satnam Narang, a senior staff research engineer at Tenable. According to Satnam, there are two very important security bugs that admins should be focused on patching this month: an Outlook spoofing vulnerability discovered by Ukrainian researchers and a smart screen security feature bypass flaw that is reportedly being used in ransomware attacks. Before we get to Satnam's analysis of the March Patch Tuesday release, here's a quick reminder to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google, or Spotify to hear interviews with IT experts who can help you make the right decisions for your organization. And now here's Satnam. Yeah, so Satnam, let's start with the Microsoft Outlook spoofing vulnerability. This seems to be pretty high up on everyone's list. Why should this be prioritized?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of sung the same song for a while now, talking about Exchange Server, emails. I think this one is kind of a really good example of the value in gaining access to email servers. And I think what makes this one really concerning is that exploitation of this one doesn't require any sort of user interaction. You know, as long as they're able to hit a vulnerable Exchange server by sending like specially crafted emails, they'll be able to exploit this vulnerability. I mean, there's still a little bit of work that has to go into it. It's not like, you know, simple cut and dry thing, but it is pretty significant. Yeah. And I think what else kind of compounds its significance is that Microsoft credited it to CERT UA, or the Computer Emergency Response Team of Ukraine, which, again, it's hard to say definitively, but if they're listed as credited for it, that means targets within Ukraine have been potentially hit by this, especially because it was exploited in the wild. Do we know definitively who the attackers were? I mean, we can't say for sure, but obviously we know that there have been quite a bit of attacks coming from Russia against Ukrainian targets. So
you don't say.
I do hope we hear more about this because it would be really beneficial to know. But I think my concern is now that this vulnerability is out there, as we've labored over much of our conversations in the past, known vulnerabilities have a pretty significant challenge for organizations because, you know, a lot of orgs don't patch these systems in a timely manner because it's not easy to do. It takes time. So will we see ransomware groups leveraging this vulnerability? Potentially, you know, once exploit code gets out there, it's pretty much game over.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about Ukraine, you think about, you know, Ukraine's adversaries, and then that kind of rises to the level of like a national security threat, one would think.
Yeah, and I mean, I think hopefully we'll get more information. I mean, it's still pretty early, right? They just published the patches this morning. Usually I would expect to see some type of a blog post, maybe from Microsoft, because their research teams were also credited with this. Right. So, you know, hopefully we'll get some more light shed on this. But my main concern is now that this information's out there and we know that it's another critical vulnerability affecting Exchange Server, specifically Outlook, it's definitely a problem. And I think, you know, we're going to continue to see bugs like this be a problem for months to years to come.
Right. So, and then the other actively exploited bug patch this month was the Windows Smart Screen security feature bypass. What do we know so far about that one?
Actually, it just dawned on me one thing that I forgot to touch upon. I actually found this out after the patches got published, was that Microsoft actually published a script for the Outlook spoofing vulnerability that basically what it does is it checks for Exchange messaging items, whether it be mail, calendar, or tasks, to see whether or not there's some specific indicators to kind of help administrators know whether or not they've been hit by this vulnerability. Because it's already been exploited and we don't know the nature of how widespread the exploitation is, if it's just concentrated to Ukrainian targets or if it's hit other organizations around the world, we don't know that yet. But obviously, that script is supposed to help provide organizations with a way to potentially determine if they've been compromised. And, you know, it will obviously become useful down the road once we, you know, eventually see this being exploited by other threat actors.
So you're recommending that every organization should run that script, basically.
I mean, if you're running Exchange Server, it's probably not a bad idea. But I mean, the problem obviously is, like, you know, what kind of overhead is that going to take, you know? But I think it can't hurt to run it. I don't know, you know, what kind of an impact it's going to have. I mean, there's obviously some requirements, prerequisites that need to be in place before you do that. You know, you need to have the right privileges. But yeah, I mean, especially if you're concerned about this, and once we have more information about the targeting of this one, it can kind of help shape how organizations respond. At the minimum, you know, applying the patches.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be extra cautious, using the script to potentially audit for and identify potentially malicious indicators of compromise.
Mm. Yeah, so let's move on to the smart screen security feature bypass. And it kind of seems like it's you know, just as critical as Outlook spoofing, since I think Google reported this, and I think they're saying that some ransomware group is leveraging this to deploy ransomware.
Yeah, we've been seeing a bit of activity surrounding like Mark of the Web and Smart Screen. I think there was, if my memory serves me correctly, there was another Smart Screen bypass back in December, I want to say. I don't remember the CVE off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, there's in the wild attacks leveraging these security feature bypasses, and ransomware has been associated with it. I haven't actually checked to see, you know, you said that Google's already talking about it. I haven't seen their blog post about it, if they published something new about it today.
Yeah, it's out today.
Yeah, so
Magnabur ransomware.
Yeah, you know, Magnabur has been using this technique for some time now. I believe that one from December also was utilized by Magnabur too. So yeah, it seems like that's their modus operandi in part of their attack. So, you know, I think we're going to continue to see this one also being exploited. And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. I mean, you know, it's like once Pandora's box is opened up, it's really hard to put stuff back in, you know?
It's interesting that, you know, Microsoft has, you know, in, you know, recent years has been taking, you know, several steps to kind of, you know, prevent, you know, Office from being used for these malicious purposes. So does this kind of signify how attackers are pivoting and finding, you know, new ways to do so?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, accessing files associated with Microsoft Office is part of corporate culture. You know, organizations use it. It's very widely used. So it makes sense that attackers are going to target software that they know is being used within organizations. Same thing applies for Exchange Server, right? A lot of organizations rely on Exchange Server in their environment. So it's like, you know, when you think about, okay, should I target this very obscure piece of software that's only used by, you know, less than 1,000 organizations, or do I use and target vulnerabilities within software that's used by tens of thousands of organizations around the world? I'm going to go with the one that has more market, you know, more market penetration. And it's kind of what we also saw in our threat landscape report, when we published that, we talked about how most of the zero-day vulnerabilities are in Apple and Microsoft products. And it makes sense, right? Because they are so, you know, ubiquitous.
Right. Why is this CVSS score so low for this one? If it's, you know, it seems like it should be a priority to patch.
I think it likely has to do with the user interaction being required. You know, I think the fact that a user actually has to run one of these malicious, you know, files on their machine.
Right.
So because there's no, you know, I think that would obviously change the CVSS score significantly.
Sure.
Yeah, because ultimately there are no privileges that are required to exploit this. You just have to convince someone to do it, to run a file.
Right.
So that creates some barrier, but it's clearly not enough of a barrier because,
yeah,
you know, I know it's unrelated, but I just saw like a story talking about how, you know, attackers are creating these AI generated YouTube videos related to like cracked or pirated software, trying to get folks to download malicious software on the machines. So imagine someone seeking out that type of software and running it on the machine. They're looking for it, and attackers know that they're looking for it. So it's likely that similar approach is happening here with this type of vulnerability. You know, being able to convince a target to run a piece of malicious file on their machine, whether it's a document, PDF, or an executable. Executable is obviously, you know, different ball game, but like opening up a doc file on your machine can end up being pretty bad for your organization.
Right. And I think, you're expecting, these, security features to hold up. So you're like, oh, well, if there have these, security tools in place, then this file should be safe to open. It's safe. So it got through. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the feature is designed for, right? It is a security feature, and it's supposed to help prevent stuff like this from happening. But unfortunately, attackers are very determined to figure out how to bypass them.
So those are sort of, seems like the two most important ones. Which one would you rank maybe like third?
There's quite a bit. And one of the things I noticed too, and I forgot to mention that, when I was looking at this earlier today, there's quite a few bugs with like CVSS score of like 9.8, which is pretty high. But I think for us, like these ones stood out because they've already been exploited. And, the other ones that we saw too, like were like the ICMP one, the remote code execution vulnerability, and the internet control message protocol. That one stood out, and as well as the HTTP protocol stack vulnerability. Especially when Microsoft says the exploitation of these bugs are more likely, right, we tend to key in on those because there's quite a few bugs that are often listed as, less likely. So from a prioritization perspective, we look at that. We look at CVSS score, because the higher the CVSS score, the more easier it is to exploit. Although notwithstanding the mark of the web one, smart screen security feature bypass, user interaction plays a factor there. So yeah, that's why we put those in there. I know I actually just realized our blog post has a little bit of a editing error in there. I gotta go back and fix that. But
yeah, I see one. There's like two C's in the headline. Yeah. I figured that one out.
Yeah. I didn't have enough coffee in the morning, so I had to put that one on me.
Yeah, so I think it's something that you're probably excited to talk about is that there are no principal or bugs in this release.
Yeah, you know what, man? It's very, very weird not seeing a principal or bug in a Patch Tuesday release. I actually was a little bit taken aback right, just because, we expect it. Like, we expect it almost every month. But I guess maybe a lot of the focus has shifted towards Exchange Server, Outlook, that seems to be the flavor of the month at the moment. We've been continuously seeing bugs in Exchange Server over the last couple of years, and it's I think it's heyday now.
Right. And any other comments about this, the amount of RCE bugs again this month, kind of similar to what happened the first few months of this year?
Yeah, I mean, by and large, we expect there to be more remote code execution bugs than like elevation or privilege bugs, but it's not uncommon for those to swap places. But by and large, you're going to see either one of those leading the pack. I would be very surprised to see info disclosures, spoofing, denial of service, any of those, class of vulnerabilities leading the pack, because their impact is less significant than these two. So we expect that remote code execution and elevation of privilege to sort of maintain their place as one and two for the most part. I think one thing that was interesting to me was that, we're still in that 70 CVE range this month, which is still quite a lot. Back last year, wouldn't be uncommon for us to see 40, 50 CVE. So the fact that we've been pretty high up there so far this year leads me to wonder if this is going to be another banner year for Patch Tuesday updates.
Yeah. And what, yeah, what was the record year? Was it 2021 or 2020?
I want to say it was 2020, if my memory serves me correctly, because that was a pretty significant year. I think 2021 was less, but not, you know, as bad. I feel like last year was less too, but 2020 was a year of like just so many. I remember seeing like at least multiple months in a row of like 100 CVs patched by Microsoft. So I'm not sure. It's really hard to say, like, you know, it's hard to predict. Like, you know, I can't say definitively next month we're going to see 40 to 50. We may end up seeing 70. Maybe 70 is the new normal now.
Mm. And maybe they got to stop focusing on ChatGPT and do more to their security.
Oh, man. Anyway. Maybe ChatGPT is going to be finding more bugs.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Yeah. Any other general comments about this month's Patch Tuesday?
No, I mean, I'm just keeping an eye out for this, Outlook spoofing vulnerability. That's right. Really what's my focus right now, just cause I really want to know and have more insights into this one. Cause
yeah,
you know, we've seen, you know, all the impact from all of the proxy logons, proxy shells, not proxy shell, or excuse me, proxy not shell. Just the impact from all those has been felt and has reverberated over the last couple of years. So I just, yeah, I'm very concerned to see what happens with this one.
Right. Yeah. So on that note, I'll let you go. And thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach.